Well, everyone, thank you for joining me today, New Hope Radio. And don't forget the Hope Club podcast, where you can catch these programs anytime you want at the Hope Club podcast, anywhere podcasts are found. Also on our website, newhopecc.tv. Oh, what luck today. Look at Pastor Dave Orcoin back with us here at the New Hope Studio. And we're going to continue with some topics that are affecting all of us in our culture. Pastor Dave, good to have you with us back again today. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, glad to be here, Dave. Appreciate you.
And we got some good stuff on tap today. And I hope people really listen because, let's face it, we can't escape this cultural change that's happening. But all we can do is try to get information and stand up against it. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we want to be medically accurate and spiritually right on target.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And thank you for joining me for another edition of New Hope Radio. Well, Dave, we need to get right into it because I know there's a lot of information here that we want to cover. And we're going to talk today about saving our children, huh? You said something like protecting our teens from irreversible damage. What does that mean?
Well, Abigail Schreier wrote a book, and the title of it was Irreversible Damage, and it was really talking about the transgender movement. Kids are actually mutilating their bodies. They're cutting off healthy body parts, and they're just doing a world of hurt and damage to themselves. And so what we've put together, Family Policy Alliance has put together a booklet. You can download it for free. It's called the GenderResourceGuide.com. You go GenderResourceGuide.com and you can download it for free. But it has a lot of medical facts and social facts as well. And that's what we need today to combat a lot of these lies. The devil is a liar. Mm-hmm. And he wants to kill and destroy. But God came that we might have peace and health.
So let's get into this topic because transgenderism, if I could call it that, it's affecting so many aspects of our life. Education, sports, families are being broken up by it as well. So let's talk a little bit about some of the statistics that are coming to the surface regarding this.
Dave, one of the pages in the booklet that I brought here with you today is Fast Facts About Health. Mm-hmm. And so right at the top, one study showed that when a teen announces a transgender identity to their peer group, the number of friends who also became transgender identified was 3.5 per group. In other words, 3.5 more friends took on that identity. Hmm. This really bothered me. I have a granddaughter who has just turned 18, but when she was very young, I remember some of her social groups, she would talk about being non-binary, transgender, that kind of thing. It seemed to be a social contagion going around. My daughter was able to talk to her at her level, help her to understand really the truth of the matter. But how many kids are caught up in this, and they're affected by other, they affect other kids around them. Mm-hmm. So this shows that that's really what's happening today. Dave, right across from that stat, it says in just 7 years, this is going back a ways, but in just 7 years, there has been nearly a 2,000% increase in children seeking treatment for sexual identity confusion. And that's in the United Kingdom. Mm. But I would say that that's happening here in the U.S., probably at the same rate.
And I wonder how many of those are doing it more out of curiosity than they are out of confusion.
Yeah.
Following the crowd, the peer pressure. Oh, that looks like something I'd like to try. Let me experiment with changing my gender. You think that's possible?
Oh, yeah. Dave, you and I talked about this a little bit before. When I was growing up, I did not grow up in a Christian home per se, and I can remember experimenting with different things. You think that you're invincible. You think that nothing can take you down, and so you do a lot of experimenting. And you're right. I think that's what's happening with a lot of kids this way today.
It's incredible, and that peer pressure. That's why, again, parents need to know who their children's friends are.
Yep.
They need to know what they're learning in school.
Yeah.
get them in teen ministry in church. I mean, really, they have to have a foundation or else they're going to be swept away.
Yes, we talked about this earlier, too. Speaking the truth in love, parents have a chance to really do that. Let's face it, kids don't have the experience that adults do in life. And so they're learning things as they go along. But parents can help because they've had experiences and they can teach their kids from their own experiences. Wouldn't you agree? Dave, it says up to 98% of kids who struggle with their sex as a boy or a girl come to accept their sex by adulthood. Hmm. And that's true. Statistics show it. Late teens, early 20s, if they have gone through a lot of confusion, they eventually come out of it and they learn to accept who they are as a boy or a girl. And so what I've found dealing with parents is that the fear that their child is going to take their life becomes dominant. And so parents cave to the pressure of the culture and will allow kids to do things that they shouldn't do just because they're afraid that they're going to take their life. About 7 years ago, myself and a number of Christian pastors and leaders made an appointment with the Department of Education leader back then, who was a guy named Morgan. And we met with him thinking it'd be reasonable about the whole transgender thing that was happening in the schools. And turns out he wasn't. He was just a progressive. He was a liberal. So we asked him for a public hearing, and he gave it to us. He stacked the hearing with about 35 different people who were all pro-transgender. Mm. And so we had about 15 to 17 of us who were pastors or church leaders. And what we found that when we were in the room with them, one of the repeated things they would say is, why are you making our kids commit suicide? Mm. And so you kind of cave to that kind of thinking if you don't know the statistics. The actual statistics are that 20% plus of people who have gone through this transitioning with their bodies commit suicide, take their life. The suicide rate for transgenders is 20%, and it's not because people are not accepting them. It's because they literally have regrets on what they've done to their body. There's a young girl named Katie Anderson, and Rhode Island Family Institute, we brought her into Rhode Island last month, and she spoke at a church with about 80 people in attendance. She's in her mid-20s. She had the chest surgery. She had a hysterectomy. And she took testosterone for a very long period of time so that her voice sounds like a man. She's one of the kindest people you'll ever want to meet. She is not an in-your-face activist, but she regrets her choices, and they're irreversible. She can't go back and undo it. So it makes you realize that we have an obligation to protect young people that are going through transitions that are difficult. The culture is tough today. And so we've got to help our young people and not harm them. We have a whole campaign, Family Policy Alliance does, called Help Not Harm. And it's worth it because we're saving lives, healing bodies, healing minds, and saving lives.
When you read that stat, Dave, up to 98% of children who struggle with their sex as a boy or girl, they accept it by the time they reach adulthood. You know what I think of? I think of when we were young, we had what's called tomboys.
Yep.
And we had girls in the neighborhood. They played baseball with us.
Yep.
They rode bikes with us. They were, you know, tough little girls, right? But they grew up into beautiful women.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't remain there. Nowadays, if someone might, you know, show the tendencies of a tomboy, parents could run with that thing and do a very big disservice to their child. And that's what we need to warn people about.
Yeah, some of the medical practitioners that I've talked to will say that it is a challenge. Sometimes young people, it is very uncomfortable. They feel like they're in the wrong body. So it may be a girl who feels like she's in the wrong body. She should be in the body of a boy. But what the stats show is that they eventually outgrow this. And so you don't want to do things that will damage them for the rest of their life. You got to work with them and allow them to move through these challenges.
And by the way, Dave, I didn't introduce you as the founder of the Rhode Island Family Institute. Let's just bring that out again and let them know what that is and how they can get a contact that institute.
Rhode Island Family Institute. We're one of 40 chapters across the country. We're networked with Focus on the Family and Family Research Council. Our purpose is to make our state be a place where God is honored, where religious freedom flourishes, where families thrive, and where life is cherished. And let me tell you something today, each one of those areas, there's a battleground. Mm. And a lot of it is at the State House. Focus on a Family, Dr. Dobson, a number of years ago, recognized the need for this in the State Houses across the country. And so he started these family policy councils, and they have spread to where there are 40 different states have one today.
So we're talking today about protecting our children from irreversible damage through this transgender cultural shift. So what else do we have here, Dave, that people need to know about?
Well, identifying as transgender or non-binary may be linked to autism. Kids on the autism spectrum or autism spectrum disorders. Children with autism, studies show, are 7 times more likely to want to be the opposite sex than the general population. And Dave, I've done a little bit of research and talking to people about this. And one of the things that happens with autism is it's very socially challenging for kids that are autistic. And so to say that you're non-binary or you're transgender all of a sudden gives you instant popularity in a sense. My grandson graduated from a high school in Western Mass, and he said, you know, the teachers and the guidance counselors gave all the attention to the transgenders and the LGBT people. Mm. It's just a very lopsided thing today in the schools. And that's another reason to think about, do you want your kids to be in a public school where they're going to be taught a lot of these things? Or do you want them to get a Christian education where they can learn God's plan for their life? That's a challenging subject right there. But I know you are working on that with your church, and you've got an ACE Christian school here. And we've been working with another 7 Christian schools in our area here to try to help promote them and make them available for people.
So what would you say then to parents that might have an autistic child? We don't want to instill fear into them that their child is going to struggle with their gender identity, but because again, it says they're more likely to, but it doesn't mean that most of them will. What would you say to those parents?
One of the things that Abigail Schreier found, and she's an investigative reporter, was that social media contributes to a lot of this confusion, mm-hmm. or contagion, I guess you could say. So she recommends getting your kids off of social media or really monitoring what they are doing on social media. And you know, Dave, there are a lot of helps today where parents can keep track of where what their kids are doing with their phones and where they're going on different websites. It's challenging, but that's what we need to do. We've got to rise up and meet the challenge. So we really do have to pay more attention to what our mm-hmm. kids are going through. Years ago, we used to say, if you wanted to keep your kids off of drugs, have regular suppers, dinner times with mm-hmm. your kids. And you know something? I think we need to revisit that. Mm-hmm. Family life, we get so busy today that we don't spend time together as a family. Mm-hmm. And so dinner time is something where you can talk over the pressures that kids are going through, especially if it's in school. Time and time again, you'll hear that kids are being bullied in school and parents never find out about it until maybe at one point things reach a peak. Mm-hmm. But usually it comes out at dinner time where they're talking, conversing about the day. And so I think we've got to go back to some priorities with our family life, and parents can do that with their kids. Try to have at least 2 or 3, 4 meals a week together with your family and get kids talking, ask them questions.
And maybe parents need to just be reminded to prioritize their children. It's so easy in this day and age to be busy and, you know, we eat on the run.
Yeah.
They're on their phones, and parents they can drift away from parenting because they have their own things going on.
Yep.
And they need to come back and prioritize, wait, my kids are the most important thing right now, as long as they're in this house.
Yep.
So I need to make them my priority. And like you said, maintain a good relationship with them.
Yeah. I have to admit, growing up, I was more of a workaholic, and I remember reading a stat that the average father spends less than 5 minutes eye-to-eye individual contact with their child a week. And I said, no, that's not me. So I decided I was going to monitor my time with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, almost a whole week had gone by, and I had not spent that 5 minutes eye-to-eye contact with her. So my daughter was good. She would let me know when I was busy. She'd give me, Laura, a heads up. You know, Dad, you haven't spent a lot of time together. And they give me a few days to get my act together, because that's a lot of pressure. All of a sudden, you know, you're under the gun. But I found that it paid off. And we need to do that as parents.
And it happens without even realizing it. It was just life goes on, life goes by. And before you know it, you moved away from where you were and you didn't realize, wow, how far did I drift? Like a boat just kind of drifting and you don't feel it. But when you look at the shore, you say, ooh, I've drifted too far. I've got to put the sails up and get back to where I'm supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Dave, wouldn't you say too that you've heard parents today say, I really think the culture is dangerous for kids today. I've even had parents say, I don't want to have kids in this culture. I don't want to bring kids into this world. So that's different than when we were growing up. So we have to recognize that we do live in a different world. Mm-hmm. We do have different challenges. And parenting is more challenging today, I think, than it's ever been. But God's gifted us with kids, and kids are a blessing. Having family is a blessing.
So that's what we're talking about today, how to protect them from irreversible damage, because the transgender movement is really irreversible.
Yes. Yes, it is. Dave, one of the stats, too, on this is that studies show that 100% of children who use puberty blockers will go on to use cross-sex hormones. That leaves them permanently sterile. That's chemical castration. So I had a 16-year-old girl in my church a couple of years ago, solid, she loved God, and very innocently said, well, listen, can't kids go on puberty blockers, sort of experiment with it and see how they're doing, and then just get off them afterwards? And now, from her perspective, that was a good question. That was a very simple question. The reality is, physically, you can't arrest puberty and not have consequences for that. And studies do show that when kids get on puberty blockers, 100% of them will go on to use cross-sex hormones that will leave them permanently sterile. And so it's not like when we were kids. It's not like even when our kids were kids. I mean, we're living in a very dangerous culture today, and a lot of those decisions that kids make will affect the rest of their lives. So we've got to be on top of it as parents.
And I wonder if they could feel that they have crossed the line, they've drifted so far from God that there's no coming back. And that would be a sad commentary, wouldn't it?
Yes, yeah. I think Katie Anderson, the girl we had come to Providence last month, she said that when she first started on testosterone and she first started down this road of gender-affirming, changing her sex, there was a euphoria that took place. She felt like she was on top of the world. This was an answer to her needs. But David didn't last. And after a few years, she began to regret it. And then the depression and the thoughts of suicide began to take over. But she actually remembered her Christian teaching growing up. And somehow she thought, you know, God loves me and he can get me through this. And so she began that trek back to the Lord. And today she actually shares with other youth groups and other churches her struggle. And it is permanent for her. She's reversed. She's stopped. It's irreversible. But she's using her experience to help others to avoid those changes.
And people need to know the grace of God. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, and God's grace is always there.
Yeah.
If we turn and repent and come back, God's grace is there, and it will receive us.
Yeah. We did a conference a couple of years ago with Ministry Training Network, Rhode Island Family Institute Ministry Training Network. And what we found was that there's just a big need out there for families to get this information and this education. And we presented it in such a wonderful way. Really, the slogan was, we want to heal minds and bodies. There's a lot of brokenness. I was in DC for a panel discussion and they piped in or zoomed in a guy who runs a clinic for transgenders out in the Midwest. And Dave, he said that 100% of those who have come through his clinic were sexually abused, 100%. I read another stat just the other day, and I think it's probably increased since then, that 4 out of every 6 girls will experience sexual abuse, some kind of abuse. We are living in a pornified culture, and that's a whole nother topic, that porn is just rampant in our culture, and it produces a lot of brokenness. This is the reality, but we have the answer in the church. I think our churches can reach out. We can be more educated on how to minister in these areas and just help people to heal emotionally and physically through them. But it's a tough world out there.
Yeah. So. And I think parents, too, don't make your children an experiment.
Right.
You know, some of that lies on the parents, too, where a parent might say, well, you know what? I see this little inkling in them, so I'm going to promote it myself, and I'm going to be the aggressor and take my child to the doctor and make changes.
Yeah.
Even my child's 5 years old. Maybe I want a boy or I want a girl. And don't make your children an experiment. They are your children. God made them the way they are. We have to be good stewards of the gifts that God gave us.
You're right. And, you know, I've seen that. And it just, it's a terrible thing when parents go through something like that with their kids. And it may be that they've experienced some abuse or brokenness in their life and are just passing it on to the next generation. But you're right. Dave, girls as young as 13 are undergoing double mastectomies. That was Katie Anderson. I don't know if she was 13, but she went through that double mastectomy. And she also went through a hysterectomy and started on testosterone. And so it's just sad. She is the sweetest girl. God has really helped her to redeem what has happened. But it's a very challenging time once you've gone through these things.
So, Dave, these 13-year-olds, is this with or without parental consent?
I guess that's a whole other issue because right now the battle in the schools is that a lot of schools are teaching this whole idea of transgenderism without parents even knowing it. And we've known for a long time, Dave, that teachers and guidance counselors will take kids, teens, for an abortion without the parents knowing. We've known that. That's a reality. And now we're seeing it happen with this whole issue of transgenderism. So, yeah, girls as young as 13 are going through double mastectomies, and boys as young as 17 are undergoing full genital sex reassignment surgeries. And that is sad. That is really sad.
I would use the word demonic.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
I would.
I think it's trying to undo what God has done in creation. It's trying to usurp God's authority. And here's another fact, Dave, is that long-term effects of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, long-term effects, have not even been studied. All of this is very recent. And so why do something that hasn't been studied, hasn't been proven to be a benefit? Another fact, Dave, that's interesting is that science demonstrates that there are 2 sex chromosomes, 2 X chromosomes in females and an X and a Y in males in nearly every single cell in our bodies. And so what that says is that every single cell in our body screams that we are either male or female. Binary, male or female. And so there is no confusion when you get down to medical facts and on a cellular level. And, you know, some transgender-identified patients are being prescribed cross-sex hormones on their very first visit to a clinic. Very first visit. And so we need laws to protect our kids. We're all pretty familiar with Planned Parenthood and what they do with promoting abortion. Do you know that Planned Parenthood is the number one dispenser of testosterone in America? Planned Parenthood. In other words, your child can go to Planned Parenthood and without a doctor's script actually get a prescription for testosterone. Can you believe it?
And it sounds so good, doesn't it? Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
But how deceiving. What a deception.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the biggest named... terrible.
It's the destruction of parenthood.
Yes.
The reality is the destruction. So we know that we're in a spiritual battle. And as Christians and as churches, we need to stand strong. We need to stand strong and not compromise. Let your faith show. Let your words be known. And don't be afraid. As I listen to you, Dave, I'm like, I'm not going to be afraid to hold back the truth if it hurts somebody's feelings, because their feelings don't matter. What really matters is the truth that will save somebody's life. Yeah. That's really what matters.
Yeah.
And we become a feeling-oriented society where, well, I'm not going to say something because it might hurt how you feel. But you know what? If you're sticking a heroin needle in your arm and it's going to hurt how you feel because I tell you that could kill you, well, what's more important? You're going to tell them the truth and say, take that needle out of your arm.
Yeah.
Let's get some help. Let's get some counsel.
I think this is where the church can come in. One of the books that I'm reading right now is Organic Discipleship. It's one that we're studying at our church. And the idea that our peers, we can have a big influence with our Christianity, influencing others and being a support to others. This is the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters. We're part of the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head of that.
So, Dave, tell them again how to get a hold of the Rhode Island Family Institute. Website, phone number, and mailing list, newsletter, you got it all, right?
Yep. Our website is rhodeislandfamily.org, and you can go on there and you can sign up for our newsletter. And we'd love to converse with you and help you with your goals for your family.
Thank you, Dave Alcoin, for being with us again today. Appreciate it. And we're going to come back soon with another hot topic, aren't we?
We are.
We will.
I want to do this regularly.
We're going to burn it up over here. So thank you, everybody, for coming along. Let people know they can hear this again at the Hope Club podcast. We need to get this information out there. Stand strong. Stand strong in your faith. Got to protect the children. Got to protect the adults. Got to protect them against the demonization of this younger generation, okay? So thank you for coming along, and we'll see you next time for Norp Radio.